This afternoon we're going to read from Romans chapter 7, and we're going to start at verse 6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. Indeed, I would not have known what sin was except through the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not been said, "Do not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of covetous desire. For apart from law, sin is dead. Once I was alive apart from law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment put me to death. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Did that which is good then become death to me? By no means. But in order that sin might be recognized as sin, it produced death in me through what was good, so that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have a desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in mind am a slave to God's law, but in a sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. It might become apparent that the last few times that I've spoken, it's always been in Romans, and that's just a coincidence. But I am aware a few times now it's always been from Romans. But obviously Paul wrote this, this sort of passage about struggling with sin in our lives. And it made me think about, you know, being really good at things. Because it talks about doing good, but always having, the evil is always there. Sin is always there, right beside you. And when I was trying to think of a way to describe this kind of imperfection, or not being able to do something as well as we should be able to do it, it makes me think of, like, sporting people. You know, we've never had a footballer who, when he has a shot at goal, always scores. So he's not the perfect goal scorer in football, because there's no perfect goal scorer, because he doesn't always score, if that makes sense. It also makes you think of kind of baseball. In baseball, they determine a person's batting average by dividing his total number of hits by the total times that he's batted. So someone who has the average of 1,000 would be someone who every time he bats, he would hit the ball. But as long as baseball's been around, I don't think they've ever known anyone who's batted the ball 100% of the time. They've not always got it right. So the player doesn't always hit 1,000. His average is never 1,000. So what I'm saying is sometimes they miss the ball. Sometimes they don't get it right. Sometimes they miss. So just as a baseball player can't achieve a perfection in what they do, it's the same in our lives, that no matter how long we live here or what age we are, we still struggle with sin. Sin is still there, and we all still sin, and we are not batting perfection. We're not always hitting the ball. Sometimes we're missing it. And as followers of Jesus, we should all know that we're not always batting the ball, because we would know that batting the ball all the time is really, really hard thing to do. And the only person that we know who actually bat the ball every single time, obviously this is getting used as an expression, would be Jesus, because Jesus never missed the ball, because he never sinned, because he never let sin into his life. And he lived a perfect life. So does this mean that because we can't live a sinless life that we should just continue on sinning, hairy-fairy, and knowing that we'll be forgiven? Is that the way that we should live? Well, according to this passage, we learn that that's not the way that we're meant to live. And no one else, everyone knows how this how to understand this passage if you read it carefully. But the person who wrote it understood it very well, because Paul really never hit the ball a lot of the time. Paul, before, when he was Saul, never really hit the ball when he was going around and killing Christians and hunting them down. He didn't want Christians to live, so he kept missing the ball. Sin was in his life, and he didn't even realise that sin was in his life, because Saul thought that he was doing everything that was right. So he didn't realise that he was doing anything wrong. He didn't even know there was a ball. So Paul admits this, that there's no one that can bat 1,000. There's no one that can hit 1,000 balls. He admits it. No one's perfect. As followers of Jesus, none of us are perfect, and we all struggle with sin. We should, though, he says, verse 6, but now by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. So what he's saying there is, even though we might battle with sin, even though it should keep us down, we've been released from it. We've been released from sin because of what Jesus has done for us. So he's released us because he always batted the ball, he never missed, and God accepted him for that. But then, because we missed the ball, we don't deserve to get into heaven, because we're always missing that ball, and we always end up sinning. But Jesus always batted the ball, but then died a death because he wanted us to get into heaven to be with him. But with the power of the Holy Spirit and through sanctification, or to use another word, We've been set apart, so we should be trying to live a life where we're trying to bat the ball as much as we can. We might never be perfect, but it doesn't mean that we should give up or be downtrodden because we're not perfect. But we should know that we are trying to be a mirror image of our Lord Jesus. We might never ever make that standard. Actually, we will never meet that standard. None of us will. But we need to try and live the best that we can. And not by our own rules. Because sometimes I think people think of making their own rules. You know, there is a law and we all know it. James said it's written in our hearts. We know what is right and we know what is wrong. And sometimes when we're doing things that are wrong, we don't realise it at the time, and then it's later that we'll realise that we've done something wrong. But sometimes, and these are probably the worst of times, we know what we're doing is wrong, yet we just continue to do it. So we'll struggle with sin throughout our lives, and not one of us will ever bat 1,000. In verse 21, of what I read, it says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." What Paul is saying is, I want to do good. I know what I want to do. I know what I really want to do. I have this idea. It's like us. We might want to do something and we know how we're going to do it. And we have a plan for it. Next week at church, I'm not going to be late. Or next week, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this. And it's going to be for God. But that sin is always right there with us. It's always there trying to pull us down in that old nature that we know about. In the old nature, it's always trying to drag us down and pull us behind. Whether it's in our temper, or how we speak to people, or just how we live our lives. Because we can want to do good and strive to do good for God. Like when I'm asked to speak, every time I'm asked to speak, my head says no, my heart says yes, and I go away and pray, and sometimes I'll say yes, sometimes I'll say no. But as soon as the question comes, the instant reaction, when Steve comes up and says, "Are you free on this date?" I'll go, "No." Because every time I think it's going to get a wee bit easier to come up here and speak. But it never seems to help in the Sunday. Then I wake up and I realise this is a Sunday I've been preparing for. And this is the Sunday that I'm coming to speak. And I really want to come and speak. And I really want to come and share what I find when I read my Bible. And I really want to do that. And I do enjoy doing it. And I pray that when I do it, it's something that people benefit from. But that sin aside me, I think about 6, maybe 8 weeks ago, I was asked to speak. And just having the time to prepare, making sure that I could prepare. I always try and have a kind of rough thing of what I would want to do if I was ever to accept a speaking time in a few months. I'd always want to have a thought when I accept on what I'm going to speak on. I don't want to leave myself panicking. I don't have anything to say. But sin is always with us. And what I'm trying to say is, when I take on some time to speak at church, all of a sudden I don't have any time anymore. And all of a sudden, I've always got something else to do every time I plan in my time to come and think on what I've to speak on. So that's what I'm saying. We can plan to do good, like being in the band at church, or opening the breaking of bread service, or opening the hall. But there's always all these different things that can stop us from doing what we really want to do and what we really want to do well, and that's to please God. But sin's always bringing us down. And a way that we can try and eradicate that in our lives, eradicate that sin and how we always kind of get dragged down, because this passage is all about struggling with sin, and it's all about that struggle. But if we have our morning reading, or if we have our prayer time, or what I find anyway, is that when you have your morning reading, when you have your prayer time, you're more prepared for the day. I don't know how well everyone here is with their morning reading or their prayer time, but sometimes I can be a bit of a hit or a miss. Sometimes I start at 7:30 in the morning and I think, right, I want to get up as late as possible, but still get to work in time. I want to get up as late as possible, but still catch the bus, because if I don't catch that bus, that's me late, because I always leave it for the last bus. I don't want to get there early, because it's 7:30 in the morning. And trying to get time in to read then, for me, is really, really difficult, because I suppose it's just laziness, really, or I've not went to my bed in time the night before. So then I just get up, I get washed, I get ready, and I leave, and I see the bus coming along the main road, and that's when I start to jog, and that's when I start to run, and then the same bus driver sees me and goes, I wonder if I'll stop today. But their daily deliverance from things that we do, having a time to just sit back and read God's word, having a time to commune with him, to speak with him. These are all important things that we should do in our lives, you know. And this sin that keeps bringing us down, that I keep going on about, because I keep going on about batting the ball, getting it 100%. We might never get it 100%, but see, when we don't get it 100%, we realise we've not got it 100%. We need to repent. We need to receive forgiveness for what we've done. We need to forget the past, and we need to move on. Because Jesus knows that he's the only one that's ever going to pat 1,000. Jesus knows that we're always going to have something wrong in our lives. That's why he died for us. All we need to do is keep trying, keep going. Don't let it bring you down. Sometimes I think when we've done something wrong, we think there's no way back. There's no way back to from what we've done to come back to church. Sometimes I think that, as you know, I've been coming here not through family or anything, just through a Sunday school bus, and some of my best friends came along in that Sunday school bus, and they're not here today. Some of them don't go to any church. Some of them still come every now and then. The difference being, you know, have they done something where they think that they just can't come back? And all I try to do is make sure that they know that they can come back anytime they like. Because Jesus died because he was perfect. None of us are perfect. You know, they should always feel, or anyone should always feel, that they can come back. Repent, receive forgiveness, and forget the past, and move on, and try and do better. So we might never bat 1,000, but we'll always have a Saviour walking with us to help us. We'll always have a Saviour there to help us with that walk through this life. And then, thanks to him, it doesn't matter if we can't bat 1,000. Time's nearly up, but I just have a short reading to do in John chapter 21. When I was thinking about being perfect, people being perfect, what Jesus expects from us, and what Jesus does, and how he would react to someone who's imperfect, this passage is always what I think of. So we're going to read from verse 11 onwards. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And that's just talking about Peter being reinstated. I missed out. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death in which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." So I'm not going to say much about that passage other than for anyone that knows what Peter done before that, he definitely didn't bat 1,000. He denied the Lord 3 times. And Jesus knew he was going to do it. And he was sure, because he wanted to do good, he was sure he would never do it. Jesus knew he was going to do it. And he was so sure that Jesus was his Lord, his Saviour, and that he wanted to do it, that he knew that he wanted to do good, but sin was still with him, and he still denied the Lord 3 times. Did Jesus tell him not to come back? Did he tell him, "Give up, you're useless"? No, he brought him back and asked him, "Do you love me?" And Peter said yes. 3 times he said yes. So we just want to thank God for everything that he does for us, and we want to thank him that even though we can't bat 1,000, we know that he can and he'll be with us. So if we just pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time where we could come together, Lord. I pray that today's been a blessing for us at church. We thank you for church. We thank you for this time we can come together and have a wee look at your word. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless us today. You'll bless us and take us home safely. Lord, we pray that even though we know we shouldn't do wrong, even though we know right from wrong, even though you've written your law in our hearts, Lord, we all know that we all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. But Jesus died for us. And that if we accept him, he can take us all the way to heaven through this life. We pray for everyone here today, and we pray for everyone on holiday and people who couldn't make it through illness. We pray that you'll be with them and that the Lord Jesus will walk with them in their lives, even if they're not here, even if they're not able to make it. We thank you for this time together, and we ask it to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen.